IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Qasim and Shaykh Ali Himani. Shaykh Ali Himani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome, brother. And Shaykh Qasim, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So today we want to talk about a very good and important topic. Should children use a smartphone without parental supervision? Especially during COVID-19 pandemic, we could see that the use of smartphones, especially for the children, in both primary schools, you know, and upper schools, is more than before. So, it is inevitable nowadays, in fact, not to use smartphones, but it had its own impacts on the lives of both parents and the children, the relation between parents and children, and so on. But the content in which, you know, with which the children are now concerned is really dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be that for some countries there is a warning or a threat at the very beginning or rating for that, but they do not work at all.
Yeah. It's true that the parents are working with the phone all the time due to this pandemic. They're busy working and all that. And I had this problem with my 7-year-old daughter. She would see me on the phone all the time because I'm interacting with people across the globe. They're reaching me out for counseling and all that stuff. Sometimes I'm supporting some organizations from the intellectual point of view that make sure your work is within the boundaries of Islam and all that. So, and we used to tell her that don't use mobile phones. So she would come to me and say, Baba, you're using mobile phone. Why can't I use it? Immediately, I would show her the screen. Look, I'm working. Then I explain it to her that, look, this person is having ABCD problem and I'm trying to answer him. See? And I read the content for her. And then they were, it's like she would, inspect me at random times. She would just come, she's playing, she would come running and say, Baba, why can't I use the phone? Then I'm like, look, okay. I'm helping. I'm making a PowerPoint presentation because I have to go and record.
Okay.
I have to do a presentation here. I have a class, so I'm putting in my notes on philosophy and mantak. And she would say, oh. Then she realized that Baba uses the phone for educational purposes, for work purposes, for something that is productive and not for wasting time. And I had my, you know, cousins and their children come over. Their children would constantly come to me. They would see my phone. It's different than his father's phone. He'd say, can I play a game? Then I turn it on and give it to them and say, I don't have games in my phone. If you can find one, play. They would go through my phone and they would find only important, you know, dictionaries and all that stuff. And they're like, oh yeah, your phone doesn't have games. This is something that the parents can do.
Yeah.
Restrict the children from downloading games from Google Play or put a lock on Google Play itself and have only important stuff. Then the children also realize that this is not an entertainment unit. This is a unit for productivity. Right?
The good news about my smartphone is that it does not support any game, you know.
Okay. Android 4 version.
Android 3, 4. Okay, it does not. And whenever my child come to me and say, Baba, give me my phone, you know, I give it to him just messages and phone call and nothing else. You know, the case is that the children have to understand that playing and game, you know, the true place for game and are not smartphones, but that's the world outside, okay? To get outside, to get into park, play football, biking, something like that, you know? And this is a problem because nowadays unwanted obesity among the children, especially in the primary school, you know, limiting the creative minds among the people and also the mental health and also the behavioral problems that are here and there are lots of, there's a long list of the problems that are made by the smartphones nowadays. And I think day by day it's being aggravated, isn't it?
Actually, I believe that I can add another suggestion to the way that parents can, you know, behave towards their children, to what the Sheikh actually mentioned. The other thing is, we can have, you know, together activities, you know. So at some certain times, you know, I don't know, at night or I don't know.
Family time.
Yeah, family time. So quality time. We would get together and play with, you know, with our children. And, you know, and this is what the psychologists say, that, you know, the less the children are active, really, you know, in the real world with the real games, the, you know, the less their intelligence progress. So this is unfortunately the problem that we have. This is research on this, that the problem solving skills diminished during the time that the smartphones are used, you know, by the children.
Correct.
Because there are and the reason is that the problem solving skills, they are coming out of, you know, activities. So
and physical activities, right? Not the screen based activities.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, that would be another maybe way in order for, you know, putting the mobile phones aside and, you know, be with our children.
You know, some of the parents make this excuse, which Sheikh Qasim has pointed out, that, you know, I'm giving my son this phone with, you know, some very nice intellectual games in it, you know, solving puzzles and, you know, building blocks and, you know,
algorithm, creative games,
which is going to lead and increase his creativity and all that. But that's not true. I agree to a certain extent that it helps, but one has to understand that the screen time has its own negative impact on the child. My daughter comes running to me saying that, you know, ex-cousin has a mobile phone and, you know, I want one too, or I want to play on the phone. And I'm like, what is she playing on that phone? Then she said, you know, solving puzzles, putting things together to make. I said, no worries. I'll go out and buy a physical puzzle for you. And then I buy a physical puzzle to her, though it costs me a little more, because on the app I can get it for free, but here it costs me money, but I'm okay with that. So I sit with her and I play puzzle with her. The benefit she gets is that she gets to own a toy, which she can show to others that I have an X puzzle, which is ABCD, whatever. And then she gets quality time from the father sitting with her and trying to solve. So there's bonding happening, there's learning happening, there is motor skills happening, hands movement, eye coordination and all that, which doesn't happen in the mobile phone. So true that you might have to shell some money out of your pocket, but for everything that's available on internet, which is productive, you have a physical game available. Why not opt for that physical game rather than, you know, just going to your mobile phone and downloading an app? It has its own flaws and challenges.
Smartphones were created in order to connect people, but now people are
disconnected
from each other because of the smartphones, you know. And you know, the sad news is about the fake recognition that it makes out of yourself, your personality. You know that on social media and social networks, what's happening? The wrong fake profiles that the people are making. You know, following this, following that, and a world is shaped around you, which has no benefit for this world and your hereafter. Because, of course, there are some good uses out of the smartphones or the tablets or some, you know, special softwares, applications. They are good, really good, you know. For example, how to memorize the Quran, reading a hadith, or it made the search really easier to do. Yes. But the case is that the world that is made around you, the fake artificial made that is made around you, you know, you talked about artificial intelligence. Now it is changed into augmented
reality.
Reality and intelligence, which is really, really, you know, harmful. A kind of world that you play in, that you have role, but this is not you, and this is not your talents and your capabilities. I think it's really dangerous.
I think we can look at the whole concept of technology from two points, two perspectives, you know, using it productively and, you know, causing harm to yourself.
Okay.
Like you mentioned, I can have a Quran app on my phone and I can use the app to memorize Quran, which is using the phone for productive purposes.
Yes.
Similarly, using augmented reality or virtual reality for productive purposes. If you've heard of this app that was created called VR Karbala, Virtual Reality Karbala, and then they had this virtual reality episode of Karbala designed that, you know, Bainul Haramain, they gave these glasses to people wear and watch that what happened in Karbala and where are you standing right now. This is the Qatlagah, this happened, and it actually impacted them and made their iman stronger. Right, On the other hand, the same augmented reality and virtual reality is being used in metaverse and other places and some games where it is leading to harmful ideologies, and some sexual content is also being promoted through VR and AR, yes. Right? So it's in the hands of the person to a certain extent, where, you know, the taqwa, the piety of the person plays a vital role in deciding that what do I want to use the phone or my laptop or my tablet for.
In the past, the people used to do or commit a sin through the physical things usually. Now it's a digital sin, you know. And through this digital sin, so many, we can say, talents, I mean, the religious, spiritual talents of the people are being destroyed. And the age is now really low because... especially when you talk about the children in the house and having a smartphones, having no control or supervision over them from the side of the parents. And the schools are also, you know, have role. Schools have role in order to teach the children how to use them. Unfortunately, it is not the case because they made a kind of private world for you. You have a privacy, and when whoever wants to enter this privacy is violating it. So he's doing something wrong. And the laws and the notices are all based on these privacy. Can we solve this problem, Sheikh Hassan?
Yeah, actually, I believe that I have referred again to the concept that I introduced at the beginning of this show, which is the media literacy. You know, this is something that is so much important. That you know, we have to work on this concept, and, you know, to based on Islam, the teachings of Islam, especially, we have to have this, you know, regulations for this virtual life that we live in social media or in the, you know, in the media as a whole. So that is something that has to be taken so seriously.
Yes.
Let me just add another problem that people may experience during actually making use of these smartphones and social media, which is the fake profile, you know, the fake IDs. That is sort of, you know, that
fake
it gives...
Fake identities.
Identity.
Yeah, yeah. That's upon a very sensitive point here.
Yeah, that's, I believe that actually makes a lot of problems, one of which is, you know, a sort of hypocrisy, you know, ingraining some hypocrisy in that person that is using that fake identity, that he or she feels that it's possible that I sort of create another identity and I live by that identity and I can do whatever I want with that.
A totally different person.
Yeah.
Living a digital life, which is totally different compared to the real life.
Yeah. And then when this person comes to the real life, you know, he or she for sure has been impacted by that, you know, that feelings that he has or she had, you know, in that fake
world,
identity
he
or she
has. There's nothing, you know, the rate of studying nowadays is low. The people do not read books, or, you know, the good content does not come to their mind because the people out of the social media only learn one sentence or one notice or one piece of advice, and they see, they know. And this type of search, you know, search for the true knowledge has been given away from the people.
Yeah.
The people are searching for this and that, the news of the celebrities,
something like that,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately. Okay, that's right. Today's children are the next generation, you know, next adults of the next generation, and we have to take care of them. For sure, Islam and the religion of Islam has some good pieces of advice for social etiquettes and the family life. Inshallah, have chance to use them in our life and apply them.
Inshallah.
Not a preacher without practice.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay. Thank you, Sheikh Qasim and Sheikh
welcome.
Ali Himani for your presence in the program. Viewpoints.
Pleasure,
it was very
inshallah.
Kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com /en/Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in life. Well, that often lies, 'cause I don't need anyone.